Somebody tweeted me today and pointed out, they were like, isn't where Bruce works called Manhead? And I said, yeah, it is. And he said, your notes say manhood.
Way to go, man.
Sorry. So, yeah, you probably lost millions of dollars in business because I drove people to manhood, which I'm not sure if you want to.
I'm not going to manhood.com.
Yeah.
What would you say you do here?
Have a good time all the time.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
I want you to be realistic.
What do you love about music?
Man being realistic.
As the story grows.
Here we go. Welcome back to As the Story Grows, supplemental first tiny little mini episode. I got Alex and Bruce with me because we're going to talk about what I consider to be a big deal. I got an idea to pull off a cover song with some of the better musicians I could get my little fingers on, and here they are. And we're going to talk about it and give you guys something to listen to and steer you in the direction of where to go to pick the song up. And Bruce and Alex, thanks for coming.
Hello.
Bruce, I'm talking to you a lot lately. After this week,
do you not talk to Alex?
No, we talk a lot too. Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Hey. We made a record. We made an album together. So I hear from him once in a while.
Just one?
Just the Solomors album.
But you guys have made several records together.
Yeah. No? There was a long gap in between the second and the third one.
Right on.
Like a decade, I think.
Gotcha.
He called me for the Solomors thing, and I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And then we talked 14 times a day for a year. So. And he was like, yeah, that's not good. Do it again. There are a lot of the emails. I think he was just cutting and pasting the same one.
But anyway. I got someone else to play that part. I hope you don't mind.
I called it a good drummer. And you can still say you're on the album, but I'm actually barely on there at all. Yeah. It's all programmed. First and foremost, you guys, thank you for helping me pull this off. This was just a dumb idea, and I had no idea that it was going to wind up sounding as good as it does. I'm so stoked for everybody to hear it. I know you're both busy guys. Bruce, you're working at Manhood Merchandise.
It's not Manhood.
I know. We established that beforehand. I'm joking.
Yeah, but you're going to cut out that first part, right? Because we're not really even talking about anything.
No, I'll leave it in. I think it's funnier now.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
It's funnier to reference it now.
Never mind.
I think everybody likes to know that Bruce Fitzhugh eats tacos. It's important stuff. But thanks for doing this, guys. I really appreciate it.
And, yeah, it was awesome.
So I just came up with this idea, and I said, Alex, you can play everything, right? And he was like, yeah. So can you help me? Yeah, okay.
I haven't played that song since, 1990.
Well, today we're recording a little bit earlier, but today I'm releasing this on Thursday, the 24th. Today, as you're hearing this, is the 25th anniversary of Rust in Peace. And I always considered it to be, it's like a top five, top three metal album. It's a cornerstone. And I think it's Megadeth's, I think it's the absolute peak of their work. I love Megadeth before that. After that, I think they got a little weird, but I still liked a lot of it. But Rust in Peace was like, I think that's one of the cassette tapes I had to buy a few times because I kept stretching the tape and wearing it out,
Yep.
But
Countdown's got some good parts, but I probably took a good long break from them after that.
Yeah, I agree. Countdown has Ashes in Your Mouth, I think, is one of Megadeth's best songs. But right before that is High Speed Dirt, and that's a stupid song. So, sorry, but
although I've been listening, I've probably listened and have checked out their last 3-4 albums.
Yeah, you digging it?
Last couple have been pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, totally. I mean, since they kind of returned, I know they got a lot of flack for a Super Collider, but yeah. I listened to it. I didn't think it was terrible. I didn't think it was that bad. It just sounded like Megadeth,
I wasn't in love with that one. I kind of jumped back in on The System Has Failed because Vinny Colaiuta played drums, and Vinny played with like Sting, Chick Corea. He's that drummer that wins I Can Play Anything awards, and he plays like jazz albums and everything.
Oh, wow. I'll have to check that out. I didn't realize. I thought it was Drover on that one.
Mm-mm. No, Studio is Colaiuta. And how those two hooked up was, I remember that was, what was it, 2004 or something? I don't remember what year it was actually, but I just remember all the drumming magazines were like, this guy can honestly do anything. Like before it was like, he can do anything. He played with this jazz guy and this jazz guy and this jazz guy. And then they were like, Megadeth, what? So I went and listened to that one because Vinny was involved and I'm a drum nerd. And dude, he nailed it. He did a great job. I didn't think that album was that bad. So I've kind of been hit and miss with them ever since Euthanasia with the harmonica solo. They were getting a little wild there.
I don't think I ever heard that record.
You heard Train of Consequences, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's about it. There's a couple songs on there that are meh, but
yeah.
Anyway, Rust in Peace. So Alex, what you said you haven't played that since 1990 and everything. When did you get it? Tell me the background on you and that album, and you and Megadeth. Just give me some Megadeth blah.
Probably Headbangers Ball, like Hangar 18 video.
I wasn't.
That's the first time you ever heard them?
That's the first time I was like, wow, I have to go out and buy some of their stuff.
Got it. Okay. All right.
That was just a real, like, 89, 90, 91 was a real solid 3 years for metal. There's so many great albums that came out then.
Look out.
And that was one of them with the alien puppets and all the ridiculousness in the video. And I was like, I don't know what this is, but I need it.
Foreign life forms inventory.
Mine was Peace Sells. I remember hearing it, and that's kind of a hokey, silly, awesome metal song. You know what I mean?
At the time, I was so thrashed out that like I just didn't want to. I was on thrash burnout at the time, so when everyone went a little bit more techie death metal-y in the early '90s, like I got back into it.
Right on. That's exactly where I was too.
It was just that, like, you know, the musical trend where they just kill any genre that's possible. So like everyone and their sister became a thrash metal speed metal band, and you're like, oh, well, there's a dozen good ones, and now there's all these wannabes.
Yeah, that's true. Bruce, how about you?
Peace Sells, man.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, you know, I saw the video on Headbangers. Probably the video for Wake Up Dead.
I don't remember seeing Wake Up Dead. I think I saw Peace Cell.
You haven't seen the video for Wake Up Dead?
Back when it was out, I don't remember seeing it. I think Peace Cell was the first video I saw.
Yeah. Wake Up Dead was pretty killer. I mean, it's practically an instrumental. And, you know, I mean, I was already in Metallica, and I knew the kind of relationship and everything. So, yeah, I mean, I got into them, you know, virtually around the same time, probably like 86, 87.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Came later than that. I remember having the reckoning day when someone told me Dave Mustaine was the best guitarist in Metallica. And I was like, Dave Mustaine's in Megadeth. Idiot.
Idiot.
No, idiot. He wrote Call of Cthulhu. And I was like, no, he didn't. And I went home and looked at the cassette, and I saw, you know, they always have the last names. And I saw Mustaine, and I had like that, what? I was like,
mind blown.
I had no idea he was in Megadeth up until some kid made me feel like a complete idiot for not knowing it. And then I was like, what happened? Dave Mustaine was supposed to be Metallica? Oh, my God. You know, and I remember that. Megadeth was just a knee-jerk reaction to getting kicked out of Metallica. How about that? That's pretty amazing, you know?
Yeah. We used to, me and DJ used to, there's this haunted area, outside of Little Rock called, Woodson Lateral. And so they would say that you, if you drive down this road, Woodson, with, and you, you cut off your lights, a one beam of light will pop up. And just come, kind of start coming towards you as you're driving with your lights off. So it's super dangerous, but of course we had to do it. And we like to do it while listening to The Conjuring.
And
we never saw the light, but we would we'd be doing about 70 or 80 miles per hour down the road with no lights on, listening to The Conjuring,
which
was pretty awesome.
We're lucky to even have you here after that story.
Well, it was a really straight, just, you know, road. And, you know, you turn your lights off, you can still kind of see if the moon's out.
Right.
So it wasn't all that dangerous, but, you know, type of things you do in Arkansas when you're 16.
Should I do it? Should I say the "you're lucky you didn't wake up dead" joke? Or should I not put that in?
I think you just did.
Nope. No, I didn't. I asked first. So if you thought it was funny, then I went for it. If you thought that was dumb, then I never cracked that joke.
Edit point, 6 minutes.
Dude, you should have just gone for it.
All right.
You should have committed and gone for it.
I can't. I'm scared of commitment when it comes to terrible jokes.
Man. You have the power. You edit.
Probably comes as a surprise because I crack them all the time, but. Anyway, so I got a hold of Alex. He recorded some demos for me to a click, and it started off like every song does. And I took that into a studio. I happened to be – get a load of this. Bruce, maybe you didn't know this. You know a dude named Chris White? Does that name ring a bell? He was a Japuza guy, and he worked at Cornerstone for like every year practically.
He used to
play drums in Ballydows.
Maybe. Do you have a big bone going through his nose?
Not when I met him, but that was this year. So,
when I think of Cornerstone Japuza people, I think of bones going through the nose.
You're not wrong.
Gauges, before right. Gauges were...
No, he doesn't look like... His earlobes don't look like melted taffy. I think he's all right, but... Anyway,
I'm going to say no, but I, you know,
all right,
I've probably met him.
Check this out. He lives in Bethlehem. He lives up the street from me, like practically. He's like not even 10 minutes away. Mutual friend with Billy Power, and me and Billy talk offline because Billy knows what he's doing with podcasting and I don't. So I call Billy sometimes and I'm like, what do I do? And I got to talking to Billy and he was like, I just hung out with Chris White. You should hang with that dude. He'd be fun to talk to. Okay. So me and Chris went to get a beer. And I was just like, tell me about Japuza. It just seems like such a mysterious thing to me. I don't really understand though, right? Long story short, I'll fast forward through the 2 hours of Japuza, Chicago stuff. He says, Sam West from...
I do know Sam.
Everybody knows Sam. Even if you don't know him, you know who he is. Sam, Scattered Few, Stavesacre. Put the Stavesacre drum set that was on Speakeasy and the next two albums for sale on Facebook many moons ago.
Oh, yeah?
Chris's wife bought the drum set for Chris.
Nice.
And it's at the house. Do you want to see it? And I was like, well, not tonight, but that's pretty cool, actually. So then in talking to him, I happened to need to go in the studio for my band, Half Bomber, this little punk rock band that I'm in. We're recording our second EP and I called Chris and I was like, dude, can I borrow that drum set? And he's like, I guess so. That's cool. Like, I don't think it's any more professional grade than what you already have. And I was like, you're missing the point. I want to be the guy that says that I used Sam West's old drum set in the studio. And he was like, all right, fine. So I went and picked it up. And while I was recording my band's EP is when this Megadeth thing came around. So gotcha. While it was already set up in the studio, I asked my buddy Phil of Beer Can Studios that's recording me. He's like a house over in that side of development. I was like, can I just record a quick metal song while I'm in there? And he was like, yeah, no problem. So the song that you're hearing is Stave Zaker's drum set.
Nice.
Isn't that funny?
That is funny.
Small world. Well, not funny. Wasn't as funny as my Wake Up Dead joke, but
let me ask you
what?
Something. So you, Travis.
Yes.
You play more on the record than, or more on the song than, was it Mendez did?
Nick Menza.
Menza. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Quite. I mean, you definitely make it your own. Well, or I think, I mean.
Oh, thanks.
Is it just, I mean, that's just your style to pretty much go off though, right?
Are you trying to say I overplay?
No, okay, not at all. Okay, because it's all very cool. I like really like it, but it's like definitely like more than what, you know. What was your thinking when you went into it? You weren't like I'm gonna play what Nick played or whatever. Okay. No, you were just like, obviously you didn't. So,
all right, good question. I think the very beginning of it, if you're familiar with Holy Wars, he plays with a single foot. And he does a lot of ghost notes. It's almost got kind of like a big band kind of a swing to it in a thrash song. And I always thought, you know what that part needs is straight double kick. I just always thought that would sound very machine gun. Well, now I got a chance to do it. So I
did not notice that.
Yeah. So if you listen to the beginning
in the original, I didn't notice that.
If you go listen to Megadeth's Holy Wars, the old version, because ours is the new version now.
Yeah, from now till the end of time, it will be regarded as Holy Wars, you know, the new version.
You know, the good one, right? No. If you go listen to it and try to omit the other instruments and just listen to Nick, that dude has so much swing. He's got like almost a big band kind of a dum dum da
dum dum da. Yeah, he did groove that song.
Yeah,
that and the really spanky bass playing with him made it really kind
of very very much so. There's a lot of swing in his style, and his dad. I'm gonna get this wrong, but I'm gonna get it close. His dad was like a session horn player in the 50s. I think he actually came from like a jazz big band background. Yeah,
very cool.
Mm-hmm. So I just have I was actually talking to Alex about this. I thought I'm gonna stay true to what Nick does, but I'm only gonna do it once or twice. I'm gonna touch it to let people know that I'm tipping ahead. This is all a big hat tip to Megadeth and the four members that recorded it because we all thought it was amazing. But I'm also gonna add my Richard Christie busy death double kick ride cymbal stuff in there too because I like that. Kind of like I was referencing the Vinnie Colaiuta, how he comes from jazz and can play metal. I'm the metal guy that can play a little jazz. So I like that's the cynic in me. not the cynic. The band cynic.
The band cynic, yes.
Right, right.
I get that.
Well, the kids listening, they're not going to know who the hell cynic
true.
Is. But I just wanted to do little flurries on the ride cymbal, little open and close hi-hat stuff, just the stuff that I like to do. But like, for instance, the up on my soapbox, that part, if you go listen to what Nick does, he plays the exact same thing four times. Dum 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 dum. Cut times four. It's a little stale. Not that it was bad, it's just the same thing. So I thought, I'll do that once. I'll play exactly what Nick plays one time. And then after that is when I started opening up with the snare rolls and stuff like that, because the guitar is just kind of not doing much. You're almost talking singing because of that weird, the whole like transition. I guess
that's really hard, by the way. That,
is it?
That whole thing, yeah.
that rhythm is that's wacky, and the way he breaks up the syllables of the words too.
It is. It's straight. I mean, there's hardly a breath, And I kept having to reference the song, and the song was so straightforward rhythmically and drumming wise. I could follow along on their song. I could not follow along with you, Travis. It was tough, but I did it.
That pleases me.
You're welcome.
What you say pleases me and makes me smile. So that was one part that I always envisioned if I ever did this. That's one part I'm going to go off on. I think that'll be fun. And, the end of it, Alex turned that part that we're referring to. I always call that the dot, dot, dot part, because Holy Wars and Punishment Due. And there's that weird middle part where the song title is dot, dot, dot. I always call that the dot, dot, dot part.
Gotcha.
And now hopefully legions of people they'll adopt that. They can have that. That's a free gift for me. But
Alex,
go ahead. Who's
good? No, I'm listening.
The end is Alex played such a thick, chunky rhythm under the solos.
Yep. Palm muted it. Yeah.
Right. And there was a lot of pause in there, which is very sugar of him. So I thought, well, that gives me a little bit of wiggle room to not just have to thrash and plow through it. So I started chopping it up with my feet because I thought that would sound interesting without stepping all over a solo, because I don't want to like steal from all the meatly meatlies that he's doing. And Alex and I have been writing like that for
forever.
Yeah. So we kind of know each other when it comes to like, you know, like I listen to his solos and I follow what his solos do, and I kind of chase him with the drums a little bit because I know Alex is usually not satisfied with that American metal. While he's soloing over it, that's a little
metal.
Yeah, it's kind of boring. So I just thought this kind of translates. This kind of works. And there you go. There's my part. So.
Okay, so Alex, on the dot 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 part, what effects do you have on the vocals? What are you laughing about?
You called it the dot 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 part. I won. I succeeded. I did it.
On the speaking part, whatever. Yeah.
No.
Doubled, super compressed, panned hard left and right, and then I think chorus and delay. Nothing huge.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And then I didn't realize, like, also listening to it, because here's the thing, I just listened to it today for the first time, because I guess you guys sent it yesterday, but I didn't check my personal email, so I checked today to see if I got it. So I just listened to it for the first time. So, like, at the end of each line of the verse parts, there's a doubling, too. How did you do that?
I got two sets of vocals, like two passes from you.
Yes.
And they were both slightly different. So the one, they're both in there right now. I took the, I don't remember if it was, I got one with a lot of compression on it and one without a lot of compression on it. So one of the two of them, I put like 12 decibels down and just squashed the crap out of it and then parallel compressed the whole thing together and panned it like 3 degrees to the left. So it's just both your vocal takes, but one is like squashed flat and the other's normal.
Okay. But the end of each line, it sounds like you push something up to where it creates that doubling effect that is in the original song, but I didn't try to sing it that way.
Oh yeah. I automated a little slapback delay at the end of each of them there.
Gotcha.
Nerds!
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 I don't remember. I think it's the 16th. It pans like 16th, 8th, and then it's done. So like, bap, bap, done. So it doesn't sound like big and echoey, but it had that little... Because his voice on the recording, like, if you listen to just the voice, it's like that huge 80s reverb and like a whole lot of delay on it. And I was like, I can't mangle Bruce's voice like that. It'll kill me. So I did just the little delay to give it that density and then like stop.
Gotcha. Yeah, because the two tracks were definitely meant to be... the double was meant to be, you know, underneath the main vocal, but just to thicken it up, essentially. So,
yeah,
that was the point.
Yeah, it sounded great. The vocal sounded good.
Yeah,
it was so nice to get. Like I've mixed a lot of bands over the years, and usually the singers have like they don't play anything, so they have no sense of rhythm. But I got the vocals, and like everything is just like right on, and I was like, yes, I don't have to do anything to these; they're perfect.
Well, I mean that a little bit of credit goes to Jeremiah for that. So actually, because I'm not that good.
I'm glad you brought him up because we need to thank a few other people that are involved.
So I tracked my vocals in Nashville with my buddy Jeremiah, who's produced and recorded the last two Living Sacrifice records, as well as the Death Machine single, digital only single. And he's the guitar. He's now also a guitar player in Demon Hunter. But yeah, he's good buddy. He's got a home studio, and it's awesome because I can, you know, call him up, work out ideas. We also worked on some music for a video game called Killing Floor last year, and that came out, and it's coming out on PlayStation 4 later this year, so that's pretty cool. So yeah, he's a good dude.
I gotta put that Killing Floor link in there. Add that to the show.
Killing Floor 2.
The second Killing Floor. The
second Killing Floor. Yeah, and Solid State put out the soundtrack for it, and they like licensed a bunch of our songs, some Demon Hunter songs, Impending Doom, some other bands. And we ended up having to retrack the song Something More off of Reborn. It's completely retracked for the soundtrack because when you provide music for a video game, they need a music-only take, you know, without the vocals. And so we didn't have that with the original masters for Reborn. It was just the final masters we got just had vocals, and we didn't have a non-vocal take. So and Rocky actually recorded that and tracked it in Little Rock with me and Lance and Rocky. So yeah,
cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
So this Megadeth song has vocal production credits from the guitarist from Demon Hunter.
Yes.
I'm stretching this as far as I can take it.
So yes, you should.
That sounds good.
Tag Demon Hunter and everything.
Yeah, I definitely should.
Megadeth. Megadeth, Demon Hunter, Living Sacrifice.
Yeah.
Did he play guitar before in Demon Hunter? Or he did.
Yeah, he was one of the guitar players for a brief time. Yeah.
He just stopped.
Yeah. He went full time playing drums. This is around 2008. Because he was on that tour that we did 2008 when we toured with Demon Hunter. Huh. But he was doing double duty. He was doing guitar for Demon Hunter and playing drums for Reliant K.
That's right. That's what he was
doing. Yeah, and I think the Reliant K gig was a little more steady as far as like more shows, because at that time, back then, at that time, Demon Hunter, and even now, I guess, they you know, they would only do like maybe a tour per year, per album cycle, and they weren't like a full-time touring band. And so he left to do Reliant K. Now he is like a guitar tech backup guitar player for Kings of Leon.
I see.
So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that.
He's doing okay. Yeah.
Very good. I have another funny story, Bruce. You might laugh at this. I almost got the Megadeth song done in one take.
That's insane.
Almost. On August 6th, I got a kidney stone.
Oh, wow.
First time. Day before my 40th birthday. Happy birthday to me. I get a freaking kidney stone. A couple weeks later, I'm tracking the Megadeth song. And if you know anything about kidney stones, kidney's here, bladder's there. The hose that connects the two is called your ureter. It is 4 human hairs in diameter. 4 human hairs. It's not designed to pass rocks through it, right? So the initial pain from the kidney stone is coming out of the kidney into the ureter. Then you just go through this weird phase of like, I wonder if it's still in my ureter. And then it has to go through the sphincter into the bladder. Guess when that happens? Right after the ... part, when the thrash started to pick up, I fell out of my chair because I passed my kidney stone.
That sounds terrible.
I went upstairs. I took care of business. I pounded 2 drinks. I went downstairs and recorded the Megadeth song.
So
that's metal.
Have you been playing? Like, have you just been playing like consistently pretty the whole time then?
Me or me and Alex together?
No, you.
Me? Oh, I never stopped playing drums.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I have my drum set right here.
Gotcha. Mm. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't think that you could just, you know, hop into that song and just knock it out.
I hadn't played...
anybody for that matter.
I hadn't played... Well, thank you. But I haven't played that song. Like Alex said, I used to go home after school and play Rust in Peace front to back two or three times, break drum heads, crack a cymbal, get pissed, and then go do my homework. I don't think I've played Rust in Peace. Whew. 20 years, probably.
Yeah.
I've been playing, but I haven't played that song. So I just, you know, once we started doing this,
right on,
listening to the demos, I'm just, oh yeah, I remember that part. I remember that. But I play, you know, Nick had this huge drum set, all his, that was all rack toms. I have a Kings of Leon set. I have a rack tom and a floor tom. So I did this da-da-da, rack tom, floor, rack, floor, 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 da-da-da, 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 da-da. So I did like a Dave Grohl.
Nice.
I'm a smaller drum kit guy because it's just easier to record and I don't feel like dragging all this shit around anymore. I'm getting too old for that, but
I get that.
Yeah. Right. But, it's been 20 years since I played the song. That's for sure. But I still have my chops up. I can't grind like I used to cause I'm 40, but it's still hanging there, I guess.
Yeah. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
I had to pull you out of that rock and punk scene a couple years back before it corrupted you too much.
Oh, Bruce, how they used to tease me in that band. My nickname the entire time I was in Crutch was Sunny Day. Let's put it that way. Sunny Day.
Boy.
Sunny Day is going to crawl back in the van and listen to Further Seems Forever. I just got done like blowing out 45 minutes of double. Blah, 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 blah. I get in the van, and if I got to the cassette tape first, we were like, I was putting in The Moon Is Down or something, and they were like, no! So, Alex, ever since I left Crutch and Alathian, I haven't done heavy metal stuff till he called me back for Solomores. I've always been rock, punk, not punk, but like more rock punk kind of stuff.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so Alex hates everything I do, but he knows I can still play some mathy stuff, so he calls me once in a while.
Awesome.
Bruce is Dave Mustaine, one of your biggest vocal influences?
You sound just like him.
Just like him.
Yeah, on this recording, yeah. It was so easy to pull off.
Hello, Bruce! Meet the real Bruce!
I'm definitely a fan of his playing, his guitar playing, and his riffs. I think he's always just come up with... his stuff's always been unconventional.
Yeah, he's a clever guitarist.
I mean, even like some of the stuff from... that I would try to learn from P. Sales. I always thought it was just so weird.
Mm.
Like, but cool. Like, you know, stuff like that. It's just like super notey and weird. Like,
notey. You know. It's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, nobody plays like that guy, you know. Say what you will about him and his voice. And his voice never bothered me on the early stuff because I just thought he sounded evil. Later on, it did. You know, he the more he would sing, I was like, eh, not super into this. But you know,
right.
I mean, you gotta hand it to him, man. I mean, guy puts out a record every 2 years.
He does. He cranks. He's a hard worker.
Not stopping. Mm-hmm. You know, and. I don't know. I like Megadeth. I'm a Megadeth fan.
Definitely. That's why we're all here.
I don't care what anybody says.
I think the first time that I kind of crinkled my nose at him, other than High Speed Dirt, but then I was like, all right, he likes to jump out of airplanes and he wrote a song about it. How? Whatever.
From the sky.
within Psychotron. I had so much like robot stuff in the background. And
I don't even know any of these songs you're referring to.
So. Well, it's on their own countdown. And then Captive Honor. The whole second half, if you had that on cassette, the whole second half of that cassette started to get really weird. Alex backed me up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Ashes in Your Mouth, and I was like, oh, they're Iron Maiden now. Okay, that's fine. You know what I mean? But there was some, like, Captive Honor. There was a song on there that was like, your soul better belong to Jesus, boy, because your ass belonged to me. Ah, 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 ah. It was like, it was getting a little theatrical. It was turning into like the what Styx did with Mr. Roboto.
Yeah, wow, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, and I was like,
ah. I'm glad I didn't hear that.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict? Yes, we have, Your Honor. We find the defendant guilty on all counts. For crimes against all humanity. By virtue of the jury's decision and the power vested in me by the state, I hereby sentence you to be incarcerated with no possibility of parole or life.
Life? What do you mean, life? I ain't got a life!
Boy, your soul better belong to Jesus. Mm-hmm. 'Cause your ass belongs to me.
And then I bought,
'cause he's not doing any of that stuff now. Uh-uh. Like it's all very, I mean, the last, what, three records, four records? Was it Endgame and then Endgame and 13? What was the record before that?
Risk?
No. I'm talking recently, like the last 4 or 5 years.
Oh, is that System Has Failed?
Yeah, what was after that?
I don't, I get foggy.
Yeah, it was 2009, 2010, because Sneap produced, geez, I'm going to botch everything like I know what I'm talking about. Which one did Sneap produce?
He did Endgame. I know he did Endgame. I don't know if he did any of the other ones.
He did a little bit on System Has Failed.
Mm.
Not the whole thing. But then he did all of Endgame. And the very first thing he did after Endgame was he mixed The Infinite Order.
Hey. Indeed. How about that? And who did that?
Well, Jeremiah produced it, but...
It's supposed to say Living Sacrifice.
Oh, The Infinite Order is an album by Living Sacrifice. You should check it out.
You make me sad, Bruce. You're missing all my cues.
I figure everybody that listens to your podcast knows what The Infinite Order is.
It's recovery.
Went a little while after they came out, I was going through Living Sacrifice on iTunes and just previewing the songs, and like I hit, I don't remember which track on Infinite Order, and it's listened to like the first 10 seconds, and I was like, did they get Andy Sneap to do this?
I mean, like, you know exactly what you're going to get. I mean, he re-amped the guitars, everything, and we were like, sweet.
I have to go A, B, Infinite Order, and Endgame now because I wasn't privy to this information until now.
Well, I mean, he mixed our record in a week or a few days probably, and he did Endgame over many months. So yeah, sure, you know, it's not like it's gonna be exact, like, but
Arch Enemy.
So you didn't have the same budget as Megadeth for a Living Sacrifice album?
Surprisingly, no, we didn't. I don't. Yeah. Huh. I don't know how that works out, but
we have to work on that.
Yeah, but the fact that he did it has always been awesome for us. I mean, he
that is cool. I didn't know
mixed Conceived in Fire as well, but did a huge favor in doing it. And then when, you know, that was in 2002. So when we came, when we had gotten back together and we were actually in the studio working on Infinite Order, I don't know who reached out. Maybe it was the label or somebody, but somebody reached out to him and said, "Hey, Living Sacrifice is doing a new record. You know, you've worked with him in the past. Would you be interested? Blah, blah, blah." And he was like, "Yeah, sure."
And nice. So,
but yeah, I mean, he has a sound. He, for sure, to Alex's point,
he's got
a sound. So, and it's a good sound, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it worked. It's a good sounding album. All right, let me get a couple things out of the way here. I got to thank, on top of Jeremiah doing what he did, thank you. And on top of my buddy Phil recording the drums, thank you. I got to thank Seth W. He just spent hours at my house yesterday, and we set up a lot of online stuff for the podcast. We skipped a couple football games to do it, so God bless him. He's a hard worker. He helps out.
I like Seth W. I'm a fan.
He's a great guy. Great. He's one of the best guys I've ever met. And he helped me set up where this song is going to be, this Holy Wars rendition of ours. I set up an As the Story Grows Bandcamp page. So you can go to asthestorygrows.bandcamp.com and you can go download this song for free. Just like you've all been to Bandcamp, you've all downloaded songs before. There's no money involved. Put your email in there and we'll send you the song. It's yours. No strings attached. Except now I have your email and I'm going to sell it to Face, Skype, Insta, Twitter. No, I'm not either. I'm just kidding. And I also set up a YouTube channel for As the Story Grows. This is going to be a little bonus thing on video for people that want to sit here and look at the three of us. I don't know why they would, but some people are into it. But that's going to be on a YouTube channel. You can definitely look that up. And I turned a corner here, and Seth helped me set up with a Patreon account. Patreon.com/AsTheStoryGrows. I don't want to talk much about it because I don't like begging for money. But I look at it as, you know, I think everybody says digital tip jar. And I don't want to say that because everyone says digital tip jar. But I look at it more like the dude on the beach playing the guitar. He's got a guitar case open. You want to throw a dollar in there, that's awesome. It's not required, but it's always I'm always thankful if someone wants to help out, fund some things. But you don't have to, because the guy sitting there playing the guitar on the beach, he was going to play anyway. He's happy to do it. I'm happy to make this podcast with Steven. I'm happy to do this cover song with Bruce and Alex. It was so much fun. I hope to do these things more. Go to Patreon for more information about that. But anyway, blah, 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 blah. All this stuff will be in links. Thank you, Jeremiah. Thank you, Seth. Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Bruce and Alex. Thanks, everybody. Go get your free song. And Ben Sharp from Cloud Kicker coming up on Sunday. If you've never heard Cloud Kicker before, you're missing out. Fantastic stuff. So thanks, guys, and I'll cut you loose. Bruce, go finish your taco.
love you. Take care. Bye-bye.